Good morning, everybody on the West Coast, and good afternoon to everybody on the East Coast. Thank you for joining our webinar today with the Entrust Group and our folks over at Energia. Today, we'll be discussing making the business deal for renewable investing. I'll start off. My name is Tony Uncle. I'm the business development manager here for the Entrust Group. I will start by discussing self-directed IRAs, and then we'll hand it over to the folks at Energia to take you through what they offer and how to invest in renewable energy. Before we get started, I do have a quick disclaimer I do have to read. The Entrust Group does not provide any investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. We are not CPAs, attorneys, or financial advisors. We do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services. The information in this presentation is for educational purposes only. We do, however, recommend that you seek investment, tax, and legal advice before entering into any investments. Our agenda for today, we'll do a quick background on the Entrust Group and the basics of self-directed IRAs, and then we'll hand it over to Energia for energy investing, types of renewable investments, the evolution of renewable energy investing, the anatomy of a solar deal, set the expectations. Energia will cover their platform, and then we'll open up for Q&A at the end. Again, my name is Tony Uncle. I am the business development manager for the Northeast at the Entrust Group. I have been with Entrust for 3 years, and we pride ourselves on educating both investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts. First, I want to share a little background on our company for those of you who are not already familiar with the Entrust Group. We are a self-directed IRA record keepers and custodians who specialize in holding alternative assets inside their retirement accounts for our clients. We have been doing this for nearly 40 years and have around 23,000 accounts that hold roughly $4 billion in investor assets. One factor that makes Entrust unique is our single point of contact business model that we offer to both our partners and our clients when they open an account with us. We understand this area of business is much more complex, so we provide a higher level of service to our clients and our partners. Most of our staff here at the Entrust Group does hold a CISP designation, which is a certified IRA service professionals. We offer national continuing education classes for realtors and CPAs through our annual IRA Academy. We hold national and local events and webinars such as these. If you are interested in learning more about this, please contact your local business development manager. And we sponsor our IRA Academy, where we actually teach the course that trains other people in our industry to pass the CISP course. What is a self-directed IRA? Self-directed IRA is a retirement account in which the individual investor is solely in charge of making all investment decisions. A self-directed IRA provides the investor with a greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of the traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. For example, some assets that you can hold in your self-directed IRA are real estate, private tax liens, and notes. All securities and investments are held in an account administered by a custodian or a trustee. Now that you learned a little about Entrust, let's discuss the benefits of having a self-directed IRA. The first benefit being you are able to take complete control of your retirement. You, as the account holder, are able to make your own investment decisions, meaning you have complete control over what you are investing in. This also allows you to further diversify your retirement portfolio, as you may already be aware. The spectrum of what you can invest in is very broad, and you are able to invest in many different asset classes. This also allows you to invest in what you know and what you understand, and you will also know and understand the types and risks and returns associated with those specific investments. Another benefit is the potential tax savings using a self-directed IRA. Contributions to your accounts are tax deductible. Earnings grow tax deferred or tax free, depending on the type of account that you have. you have any further questions about self-directed IRAs, how to use them, how to utilize them, feel free to ask a question in the chat box. We'll be covering as much as possible as we can at the end. And at this moment, I would like to turn it over to the folks over at Energia, where they can speak more on making the business case for renewable energy investments. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. And this is Mike Silvestrini speaking from Energia. And I'd like to start off by thanking the Entrust Group for inviting us to speak on this topic today. It's a very important topic. It's at the center of our business, has been for many years. And we'd like to share with you some tips about how we invest in renewable energy so that hopefully you may consider adding renewable energy to your investment strategy with a greater degree of comfort. A couple of disclaimers to start things off here. We use video quite a bit at Energia to explain the types of products that we offer. And videos through webinar technology is an imperfect science. Hopefully you guys can all see these videos as we play them periodically throughout our presentation. If you're having a real hard time seeing videos, we will send around a link afterwards so you can see a clean version of the presentation without requiring real-time internet usage. And also, if you have any questions, please ask them. You can ask them at any time throughout the webinar. And then after we're done with the presentation, we'll be sure to address every question that you guys ask. So for starters, again, my name is Mike Silvestrini. I got my career started in renewables in 2007 by founding a company called Green Skies. I was the CEO of that company from its inception through the time at which my partners and I exited the business in 2017. During that Green Skies experience, we built over 400 solar energy assets. And this was still, as you'll learn today, in the relatively early days of this industry. We were fortunate to be able to provide renewable energy services for customers like Target and Walmart and Amazon and help the industry mature over that critical decade, as we hope to explain more about to you today, and also managed approximately $700 million from various investors, including folks like Goldman Sachs and RBS and other institutionals who in those days were really the primary investment participants in this asset class. And since then, I partnered with a great friend of mine. His name is Chris Sattler, and he and I created Energia in order to provide the same type of investment management services that we had been providing to the large institutions to ordinary investors, retail investors, self-directed IRAs, and the types of folks that really didn't have much access to this asset class prior to Energia. So hopefully we can explain to you today why we did that and where we're at.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Tyler Hurlburt. I'm the head of investor relations here at Energia. Over the past 20 years, I've worked as a wealth manager and financial advisor for some of the world's biggest insurance companies and investment managers. And you know, over that time, I noticed a pretty significant trend developing over the last 5 to 10 years. And you know, really, we are entering into this awareness decade where investors are not just concerned with the dollars and cents return on their investment, but also the impact that those investments have on our environment. So in seeing this, and coupled with my own beliefs that we need to do everything we can to preserve and protect our planet for future generations, I made the decision to join Energia last year. Couldn't be more happy about that decision. Mike and I and the entire team here at Energia really again want to thank you for taking time to join us today for our first webinar in partnership with the Entrust Group. We at Energia really believe in making investing in renewable energy available to all and to everyone, and it means the world to us that you've made the decision to join us here today. So the first thing we want to do is we want to share with you a video behind the why of what we do over here at Energia. We've put together this short video to help explain that and kind of why we get up every morning. And if we could, we'd like to take a minute to share that with you now.
We are not on track to control global warming before it has a devastating financial, environmental, and human cost. but we can manage our atmosphere in a way that maintains comfortable living conditions on Earth by managing our own greenhouse gas emissions. One of the most vetted sources of climate information is the International Panel on Climate Change. In 2018, close to 40 different climate models from different scientific groups around the world were analyzed to create new data. The newest report states that to limit the effects of global warming to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels, we can't emit more than 580 gigatons of carbon dioxide between now and carbon neutrality. We are already over 1 degree above pre-industrial levels and are emitting 50 gigatons of carbon dioxide every year. We need to reduce those emissions to zero before spending the 580 gigaton budget. Combined, new wind and solar installed in 2018 resulted in an overall carbon reduction of 0.21 gigatons per year. At this rate, we would burn through our 580 gigaton budget by 2031. Many technologies and behaviors will need to work in concert to achieve this daunting objective, but wind and solar energy are the most scalable and immediately available options. To install enough wind and solar energy to offset our carbon emissions before spending our carbon budget, we need to invest 4 times as much in these technologies per year and sustain that investment level through 2045. Using the current cost of renewable projects, it will cost approximately $1.4 trillion globally per year to achieve carbon neutrality in time. Big institutions have promised to increase their investments in renewable energy, and we hope that they follow through. But will it be enough? Will it be in time? Do we leave this problem to chance? Independent investors, who wield the majority of American wealth, can choose to address the problem of climate change. Not only are renewable energy investments necessary to protect our climate future, they can be productive investments that help individuals create wealth and protect their financial future. Energia created an investment platform so that every American can contribute to this objective. We are all responsible to future generations to address climate change. We're running out of time. We're emitting greenhouse gases at an unsustainable rate, but we have the ability to do much more. Log in and own your piece of a carbon-free world.
So that just gives you a little flavor for, you know, kind of the why behind what we do. And Mike mentioned in that video, large institutions stepping up to the table to help combat climate change and increased investments in this area. And I thought I'd share with you this quote right now from Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. And he simply says, today we are on the cusp of another transformation. Better technology and data are enabling asset managers to offer customized indexed portfolios to a much broader group of people, another capability once reserved for the largest investors. And as more and more investors choose to tilt their investments towards sustainability-focused companies, the tectonic shift we are seeing will only accelerate further. So we hope that these institutions such as BlackRock do follow through on their promise to invest more in renewables. But it really goes hand in hand with what I mentioned earlier, in that in recent years, there's just been this groundswell of interest in impact or socially responsible investing happening within the investment community. I've seen it firsthand. Historically, fund managers would have to balance investment performance with the social impact that investment created. However, in recent years, the impact of an investment is becoming a core competency to the overall performance metric. We're entering into a time where investment managers, endowments and trusts, pension funds, and individuals are looking to divest from carbon-heavy investments and into more socially and environmentally impactful investments. So what I want to do right now is share a poll with everybody. So we're going to bring a poll up, Andrew, if we could. And we'll get everybody's feedback on that. Take a couple quick minutes to let you answer. And then we'll go ahead and give you the answers. So the question is, what does the following list of companies have in common? So if you look at your screen here, you might need to move the poll quickly, but you have Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Tesla, Procter & Gamble, Chase Manhattan, United Healthcare, and Visa. So what do these companies have in common? Go ahead and why don't you select your answer, and we'll go ahead and give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll give you the answer. Interesting. All right, Andrew, why don't we go ahead? It looks like it's slowing down a bit. Why don't we go ahead and close that out and show everybody the results? So it's a bit of a trick question. You are all correct. So there's about 85 people on the webinar. Congratulations. You can all pat yourself on the back. All 10 of these companies represent 8 of the top 10 companies based on market cap. They're all part, more than half of them are part of the Dow 30. They also do represent the top 10 holdings in Vanguard's ESG UF stock ETF. And they're all obviously based in the U.S. So we can go ahead and close that down. But, I'm not sure about you guys, but when I look at this collection of companies, I don't get an overwhelming sense of, strong ESG principles at work. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance, and it's become a criteria in which investment companies and investors have started to use to screen potential investments for their social impact. Most ESG funds use either a best-in-class or an exclusionary screening approach to selecting securities. So we'll start with best-in-class. As its name implies, best-in-class just simply refers to selecting companies that are among the strongest in their respective industries. So that's why you might see BP in a ESG ETF, because a fund manager feels as though they're the best of the oil and gas stocks out there. The other way that a lot of fund managers will kind of screen these companies is through an exclusionary approach, and simply that just means we're not going to include any companies from a particular industry, such as tobacco, firearms, or coal. So, when we look at this, for me, and again, I've worked in this industry 20 plus years, one of the issues at play here is that these are all publicly traded companies, and extremely large ones at that. And there's only so much impact to have within that category. And in our opinion, it's not truly impact investing. The fact that institutional and retail investors are beginning to look at things through an ESG lens, we feel is a good start, certainly, and we feel like that shift is happening. However, considering the serious and immediate consequences we face when it comes to climate change, sometimes ESG simply doesn't go far enough towards allocating capital, directly into measurable climate-changing technologies. So if we can achieve real impact investing by owning a collection of stocks, then the question becomes, where does a truly socially conscious investor turn? And Mike's going to talk a little bit about that now.
Thanks, Tyler. We wanted to show those ESG slides in order to illustrate how little the connection really is between ESG investing and renewable energy investing. And what we specialize in is the latter, because we believe that renewable energy investing specifically is the only method that we have, or the best method that we have currently, to combat climate change, which is a very serious and significant threat. Right now, we're making some pretty strong headway as a renewable energy industry in elbowing our way into a highly fortified incumbent-based fossil fuel architecture. And the way that this is happening has really been based off price. Renewable energies are now far more likely to be newly constructed assets on the energy grid than any type of fossil fuel asset. And we expect that to continue to accelerate. And it took a long time to get the industry to where it is today. And in the next slide, I'm going to talk a little bit about how we got here as an industry. Now, I'm going to use solar energy industry specifically, although you would see that wind and in some cases, some types of hydro and battery storage have been along a similar ride. But heading back 40 years ago, this was a cottage industry. There was some solar modules available for retail sale to early adopters to put on their house. Jimmy Carter even put solar panels on the White House, but it was really not an industry just yet. Europe goes first a few years later, 2006 to 2007 timeframe. They put some significant subsidies on renewable energy in order to encourage more deployment of the technology and to ramp up manufacturing. So the first time that investors really start getting involved in a serious way is in the 2007 to 2010 timeframe. And at the time, to those investors, it looked as if manufacturing was going to be a leading beneficiary of this migration towards renewable technologies. And it turned out that solar modules and wind turbines are relatively commoditized, and it's a race to the bottom of margins for those. And a lot of investors have a sour taste in their mouth from the first attempt at running into the renewable energy space. 2010 to 2015 was a really significant time period. The US starts to wake up to this obligation of decarbonizing our energy infrastructure. New policies are created for the first time, things like grants and SRECs and feed-in tariffs. And we start to see projects that start to make economic sense because of the subsidies, because of the other aspects of the energy pricing in each market, and you start to see real projects start to get built. Also around this time, the industry splits, and we start to see three different categories of renewable energy projects evolving. Residential has some huge early successes with companies like Sunrun and SolarCity. Meanwhile, larger players start to gravitate towards the utility scale sector, so super large projects. And meanwhile, the middle segment of commercial and industrial solar also starts to evolve as companies like Walmart and Target and Amazon start to enter the scene. The second half of the 2010s was another huge moment for the industry, primarily because of the advent of the YieldCo. And a YieldCo is like a REIT, renewable energy or real estate investment trust, only it is filled with renewable energy assets and not real estate assets. And it's a publicly traded vehicle. So once the YieldCo kind of came around and a company called NRG started the first one for renewables, there was a way for institutional investors and traditional portfolio managers to engage this asset class for the very first time. And then that leads up to where we are today. And this is really the most exciting moment for our industry for a number of different reasons. One is that more people are familiar with the threat of climate change than ever before. It has been a huge component of even our last presidential election. We're also seeing the Internet of Things start to affect investing itself and more retail investors engaging, especially alternative asset classes, whether it's investing in Bitcoin or through into real estate, through organizations like CrowdStreet. There's a rise of individuals making their own investment decisions. And we think that this is culminating with renewable energy as really becoming a cornerstone asset in everyone's portfolio, not only because we need it, but because it helps balance a portfolio with some uncorrelated risk, which Tyler will get into later in the slide. So let's take a look though. The purpose of this presentation, of course, is to educate you guys on how these investments actually work under the hood. And the easiest way for us to do this is to share with you transparently some of our own investment strategies here at Energia and use those as a method to explain the broader principles of this asset class. But in this case, this is an investment structure here at Energia. We have on one side Energia Global LLC, and on the other side, a multitude of platform investors. And together, we're investing in these sort of gray boxes across the middle. And each gray box represents a portfolio company. These are companies with no employees. They hire Energia Global to be their manager. And all they do is own a series of projects that have a common type of theme. So for example, commercial solar is a particular type of portfolio. These are projects in Brazil in this case. Community solar is a different type of policy. We think those assets should be segregated. And then our platform investors actually build a portfolio of portfolios, grabbing bits of each of these portfolio companies to encourage diversification. And then underneath each of these portfolio companies are the project companies. The project company, it owns a single project. It's usually referred to as a single purpose entity or a special purpose entity. And all it does is has the contracts for a particular project. And to really understand what a solar or renewable energy project looks like, we have to dive down into one of these project companies and understand what it's comprised of. So we're going to take our community solar portfolio and an example project within that portfolio. And they're all quite typical. And you'll see this type of contractual architecture across pretty much any renewable energy asset class. But starting at sort of 7 o'clock here on the bottom left, we have the lease. So this is to control the real estate where the project will be sited. And in renewable energy, this is a especially important part of the process because how the quality of the site is going to determine how easy it will be for us to interconnect with the grid to provide that power up to the main energy system, as well as the permittings of that site, usually environmental permits. So we got to pick the right sites, and we generally get them under control through a long-term lease that gives us the option to continue extending for the life of the project. And in some cases, we will buy the dirt. Some developers specialize in owning the actual real estate underneath renewable projects. But just like a real estate play, it's really about the asset on top of the soil as much as it is the soil itself. Next is the most important contract that a project company will have, and that's the PPA, which stands for a power purchase agreement. There's a lot of varieties of energy contracts that we use depending on the jurisdiction, but this is the contract with an energy buyer. And this obligates the energy buyer to procure the electricity produced by the plant, usually for 15 or 20 years. And they're happy to sign that contract because our electricity can be anywhere from 15 to 30% cheaper than the electricity they're otherwise sourcing from the grid. So they lock themselves into this low energy rate, and we take that commitment, and now we have something valuable at this project company. It's the energy buying contract that really substantiates any estimated return on investment that you'll see quoted from any type of renewable energy product. And obviously, because that all the revenue that is going to eventually go to investors in the form of yield or dividends comes from this energy contract, we look very closely at the credit of the customer. Can they pay their electric bill on a consistent basis? And I'm sure some of you are thinking this is just like real estate, because it is. We're looking at, instead of somebody renting our property, we are pre-selling the electricity for an extended period of time before we even put a shovel in the ground. Once we have that site and we have the energy contract, then we go through the process of hiring what we call an EPC, which stands for Engineering, Procurement, and Construction. It's more or less a turnkey construction service. These are local shops. They're usually large organizations. And they specialize in constructing these types of projects and designing these types of projects. And they have the local licensures necessary to be approved to do all the electrical work and intertie to the grid. And they're a critical component to a successful deal is getting the right EPC partner who also plays a role in selecting and procuring the equipment. Finally, the most important part of this initial contract set is what we call O&M or operations and maintenance. Once the project is complete, we needed to produce electricity on a consistent basis for decades. So it's very important that the project is maintained. And a lot of folks believe that, you know, because there is no moving parts in a solar module, that they're relatively simplistic to maintain. But I can speak with you from experience that that's not always the case. There's a lot of mechanics within these assets, inverters and other types of equipment that can have failure points. We can be struck by lightning. We can have theft. There's just a constant battle to keep these projects operating at full capacity. And before we put our money into a project, we want to see that that has been contracted, both the technical aspects and the financial aspects of this asset are prepared to run a long-term duration so we can get that energy revenue up to our investors on a consistent basis. The next thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is, you know, how we make this investment, when we make this investment. And this is something that as investors contemplating engaging this asset class, this is the type of checklist you might want to have in the back of your head. And in fact, after this webinar, we're going to share with you this list. You'll get something in an email here. So we hope that this serves as sort of a cheat sheet for assessing the quality of a deal before anybody puts their money into this type of project opportunity. So the first thing we'll do is we'll make the project company. We stated that it's usually an LLC. So this thing pays its own taxes. It has a legal personality, but it is not a company. You know, there's no human resources department here, and we don't want flights and human resources and the types of stuff you have at a corporate company. We don't want that polluting our real asset class here. We want investors and as investors ourselves to own these projects directly as we can. We're interested in that long-term yield. We're not interested in, you know, corporate bonuses and things like that. We don't want our money being directed in any way towards those types of things. Once we have the project company created, as I mentioned in the last slide, we look at the site control. How is that contract structured? What's the quality of this land? What's the quality of the land owner? Is this somebody who's going to be problematic during the long-term life cycle of this asset class? And do we have the right to be here? And there's a lot of minutia to this, making sure that there's no deed rights have been restricted or mining rights present that could disturb our construction process. We're going to look at the interconnection, the quality of the nearby line. We have to tie into the grid in order to get our electricity onto the grid so that it can then be beneficial to our customer, who then pays us for that electricity. And this is a constant battle with utility companies. Some utility companies have really embraced the renewable energy transition. Some of them are investors themselves in this, and some of them are just going to be slow to respond to this change, or are too large, quite frankly, to change their ways and make interconnections very difficult. So we want to pay attention to our contractual right on a long-term basis to produce this electricity and send it off to the grid. We'll check permits, pretty self-explanatory there. Can't build a project if you don't have the permits. The thing we will spend the most time underwriting is probably the power contract. How long is it? How good is the customer? What happens if they don't pay us? And we look for steep termination penalties so that if a customer decides to default from us, they better be bankrupt. Otherwise, they're gonna have to pay a pretty healthy penalty back to us and our investors, and that's an important part of the contract. We're going to look at the equipment. There is what I mentioned earlier, that solar modules and wind turbines are relatively commoditized, but there are differences between the best makers and the worst makers of the equipment, and we want to make sure we're using the right stuff. We're going to pick that contractor correctly. The contractor has to be a strong company, because not only are they responsible for building this asset, but they're also going to stand behind its electrical production for usually the first 5 years. And once we get through the first 5 years, you know, we're relatively in the clear. The equipment's working correctly and it's more traditional operations and maintenance. But in that first few years, we have our operations and maintenance personnel, as well as the original contractor, to stand behind the quality of the asset. And then lastly, is that operations and maintenance agreement. And do we have the technical maintenance and the financial maintenance sorted here? So with that, we wanted to show you another video here, what this looks like when we pull it all together. When we have a portfolio company, a project company, and it's been properly underwritten, let's give you a visual look at this asset class in one of our portfolios in Brazil.
Community solar is a way to develop solar projects that makes economic sense for all stakeholders, from small businesses and homeowners to the utility companies and the project investors. It's a popular policy in markets that are developing resilient, carbon-free energy systems. There's an excellent example of community solar working in Minas Gerais, Brazil. Here, hundreds of thousands of homeowners and small businesses are subscribing to enjoy discounted energy produced by large nearby solar plants. It's a new way to look at home and small business solar, where the solar panels are installed on depleted agricultural land or the arid northeast part of the state instead of rooftops. Customers learn about the advantages of community solar through our marketing partnerships, such as the National League soccer team in Minas Gerais, Cruzeiro Football Club. Once aware of this cost-saving green energy, they self-enroll online. The benefit of community solar is a privilege of customers that abide by a subscription agreement. We can replace any defaulting customer with another subscriber who wishes to save 10 to 20% on electricity costs just by signing up. So, a community of U.S. investors can partner with a community of Brazilian energy users in a common effort to combat climate change. A poignant reminder that we're all members of one community. Own your piece of a carbon-free world.
That's great. So what we want to do now is shift gears a bit and talk a little bit about some of the more investment-specific due diligence tips on, you know, benefits and risks, and kind of how we are helping investors build more resilient portfolios through some pretty turbulent times. But before we do that, we just want to get a quick poll up, looking at, do you have any experience investing in renewable energy investments? So why don't you go ahead and take a minute. That could be, you know, direct corporate equity. That could be a yield co. Could be, you know, direct investment in a solar project or a wind or a hydro project such as this. But why don't we open that up for a couple seconds, Andrew, let people answer, and then we'll just go ahead and see where we're at. All right, looks like they're pretty level here. So about 75%, we could go ahead and show the results. Looks like about 75% of the audience has not. So hopefully this is useful so far and just kind of better understanding this asset class. And 25% of you do. Again, we'll mention this towards the end, but you'll get a quick 3-question survey at the end of this presentation. And if you do want to learn more about Energia or stay in touch with us, just be sure on question 3 to select yes, you would like additional information. So we can go ahead and close that out. This slide talks a little bit about just some of the benefits and risks behind investing in these asset classes. So, you know, first from a risk perspective, energy production is influenced by the weather, certainly can fluctuate. We call that intermittency. You know, hydroelectric projects have a dry and a rainy season, while solar projects can be subject to seasonality as well. Customers can default and not pay their electric bill. Mike mentioned that earlier. We feel like we've adequately priced that into our model, but it's certainly something to be on the lookout for. Also, policy, right? Global energy policy is a moving target. Rules change, prices change, and policies most certainly can and will change. It's our job as experts in this field to make sure we're staying ahead of the curve and on top of that policy before you know, we're put in a precarious situation. And then also for global portfolios, you know, you have exchange rate or FX exposure. So dividends are collected in the local currency, then converted to dollars before being paid to investors. So certainly exchange rates could worsen, creating lower forecasted dividends than expected. However, the contrary is also true, and we could experience a favorable exchange rate movement, creating larger than anticipated dividends. Moving on to what we feel are the biggest benefits in most of these renewable energy contracts. Number one, dividends are backed by contract. So Mike mentioned that earlier with the PPA agreement, O&M, EPC, all that stuff is contracted. So when the plant starts producing power, you know, we're pretty confident in our modeling in knowing what those dividends are going to be, what production is going to be. And we also adjust those for inflation annually. So we feel this is creating really long-term steady income streams for investors, which is a benefit to anybody's portfolio. Alternative investments are also real, you know, they're non-correlated, right? So they are oftentimes negatively correlated, but at the very least, they are not correlated to public equity and bond markets. And we've seen a lot of fluctuation there of late. So certainly good to have some non-correlating asset classes in your portfolio. Also, direct equity ownership of these projects, because you're investing in that portfolio, which owns the project directly and not Energia Global, it's a real asset. There is no counterparty risk here. So the reason I bring this up in particular is we've seen lately with AMC and GameStop some real concern around having money invested in an exchange, you know, paper investments in a marketplace. These assets can't be manipulated. So we issue shares based off the discounted value of future dividends which are contracted. And when those shares are sold, the project's fully subscribed. So similar to, you know, they're not making any more Bitcoins. They're, you know, once the shares of our projects are sold, they're sold, and investors are going to enjoy those long-term dividends for years to come. And last, and certainly not least, these are true impact investments. It's not an ESG fund, you know, with some of those companies we mentioned earlier. You know, the benefits to these projects are tangible. We can measure it. Their impact to, you know, kind of, you know, helping with climate change and just what they're, you know, putting out into the world, again, can be easily measured. So with that, I wanted to talk a little bit about just how do we build the concept of building more resilient portfolios. There's a lot of talk in the investment world and community about, you know, how do we mitigate some of this risk and volatility that we're seeing in the markets? So this is just one kind of solution or one strategy that a lot of folks are beginning to use. The table above is from a popular website, Seeking Alpha. We love it at Energia. I know the Intrust folks like it as well. If you look at the table above and think about what they're saying there for a minute, specifically what they're saying is that U.S. large cap stocks, think the S&P 500, over the next 10 years are going to deliver a negative 4.7% return. Okay, it's projected, it's adjusted for inflation. So you'll notice on the side it's real return. So we are adjusting for inflation here. And then, not much better from a bond perspective. Think the iShare 20-year Treasury ETF, which is a blend of, you know, various bond funds, projected to deliver a negative 3.2% annual real return. So from my perspective, I look at this having, again, a bunch of years experience managing portfolios for clients. Equities and bonds will always be the cornerstone of any investment portfolio. However, looking at data like this, it's just further proof to me that the traditional 60-40 portfolio, stocks and bonds, is really becoming a thing of the past. Historically, investors that were planning for retirement would just allocate 60% into equities, 40% into bonds, and 20 years later, they'd retire, and that was it. However, market conditions are leaving a lot of folks to kind of question now, is this still a viable investment strategy? Equity markets are at all-time highs, valuations are super high, interest rates are at all-time lows, corresponding bond yields are also, kind of at that, all-time low point. So people are starting to look for new sources of yield and new investments to kind of help mitigate some of that risk. And if all that wasn't enough to kind of think about, you also have inflation. So it's really the silent risk, but we've seen unprecedented monetary policy from central banks all over the world. And money supplies are going, straight through the roof. People are certainly feeling that in their portfolios or will feel that in terms of inflation. So the question then becomes kind of where do we turn? So we've painted this picture of the next 10 years. Where do we go from here? And if you look at this slide, we'll get into it in a minute, but it's showing me that the smart money is moving towards alternative assets in general. Okay, so this was Preqin is a popular alternative company that does a lot of research on alternative investments across the board, and they put out an annual report every single year. This is from December of 2018, but what they did was they surveyed large institutional investment managers and said, what are your projected changes in allocations to the following asset classes over the next years? Do you plan on increasing or decreasing your exposure to these asset classes? And really, the results speak for themselves. You can see here, infrastructure 70%, real estate 55%, private debt and private equity both up, 60-80% respectively. So clearly, the smart money is moving towards alternatives. And while they're on the rise, they do come with some valid concerns. Oftentimes when you're looking at a real estate investment, they factor in large exits to their IRR projections. So you got to watch out for that. Farmland and timberland also have come with some serious environmental consequences. Think the palm oil, clear cutting forests and environmental degradation. Mike mentioned cryptocurrency earlier, and while we love it, it's an unproven asset class altogether. So you have to take that into consideration. These renewable energy infrastructure projects oftentimes don't have that large exit multiple, kind of strategy, but rather just steady, predictable, long-term yields. So with that in mind, that's really the kind of precipice between why we built this platform here at Energia. So Mike and Chris, the co-founders of the company, we built this platform 3 years ago, really to, it's the first US-based online platform for investing in renewable energy projects. And we really believe that our mission is to connect the everyday investor to these premium renewable energy investments. Really the true democratization of this asset class. And we think everyone should have the opportunity to help build a more resilient portfolio while also helping save ourselves from the threat of climate change. Logging in to Energia is very simple and easy. You just log in with your email address, create a password, and you're on the platform. Once on the platform, you can perform your due diligence. You'll have access to every bit of data that we have at that point. Once you put in your email address and create an account, you'll have access to the offering circulars with the SEC, project models, project memos. You can do that on your laptop, desktop, or mobile device. So we really would love for all of you to kind of go on, do that, and start to perform your own due diligence. And certainly, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us at any point. We'll always be there to answer those questions for you. So with that being said, we have one last video in closing we want to share with you just around our partnership with the Entrust Group. And once this loads up here, We'll go ahead and share that with you. And then be sure to stick around. We're going to take any and all questions that you have. We'll stay as long as we need to address those. So here we go.
To assist Energy's investors with setting up a self-directed IRA, we partnered with the Entrust Group. By opening a self-directed IRA account with the Entrust Group, you can choose to invest in any project or opportunity you want, including a diverse portfolio of renewable energy projects through the Energia platform. Renewable energy projects are a good match for long-term retirement investments due to their general illiquidity. They benefit instead from a long investment time horizon and compounding returns. If we want to limit the effects of climate change, we need to direct our capital to carbon-free technologies. And self-directed IRAs plus the Energia platform is the best way to accomplish your environmental and retirement objectives. Log in and invest with us today.
So with that, we want to sincerely thank everybody for joining us today. We hope you learned a little bit more about this asset class, made it a little more comfortable for you. If you have any questions about renewable energy investing, our platform, the company, we're going to be sticking around for some questions. Mike's contact information is up here as well as mine. But each of you at the end of this presentation will be asked to complete a survey. It's three questions long. One of those questions is, do you want more information? If you click yes, I just want to outline what that means. We'll be kind of sharing, emails with you, updates on the platform. We have a ton of new projects, new developments happening here at Energia that really over the next month or two are going to be going live on the platform. So privacy rules prevent Entrust from directly sharing your information with us. So if you do have questions or you just simply want to stay informed as to what's happening at Energia, please indicate on the survey that you would like that additional information. We'll add you to our list and we'll stay in touch. Again, we send out about an email a week to our investors with updates on the platform and portfolios, as well as other climate related information and energy investing information we find useful. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and I think Andrew and Tony want to kind of take a minute to wrap up, and then we'll open it up for questions. We'll stick around for that. Thanks so much.
All right. I will cover what's next. So Energia, if you want to stay in touch with them, Tyler just gave you a brief how-to. But for what's coming up with the Entrust Group, like Tyler mentioned, there will be a brief post-event survey that will pop up once you exit today, just three questions long. So please fill that out if you want to have a say on what we cover next or have any feedback for the presenters today. Additionally, like Mike talked about earlier, we will be providing two checklists in our post-event follow-up. Energia put together some beautiful checklists as far as how they look at markets and then how they assess deals. So those should be wonderful and sent to you within a couple days. Additionally, if you need more information on self-directed IRAs specifically, please visit theentrustgroup.com or our Learning Center specifically on that website for more educational resources. And lastly, if you want to stay in touch with us via social, we are active on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and also YouTube if you like video.
Thank you, Andrew. We do have the question box available, so if you have a question, feel free to type it in. We will get to as many as possible. The first question comes from Sunil. The question is, I already have a traditional IRA. Can I have a self-directed IRA along with it? Yes, you can. Essentially, what you would do is you would open a traditional IRA with the Entrust Group, do a cash transfer from your current custodian to Entrust, and then you will be able to make your alternative investments. Okay. This one will be for Mike and Tyler. Minimum investment size or indexes available to invest in? Do you require full payment on day one? Do you produce a K-1s or UBTI? For the UBTI, unfortunately, we cannot give any legal, tax, or investment advice. So for any tax-related questions, you would have to speak with your CPA for that. Mike and Tyler, you can handle the rest.
Great. Tyler, I'll take the first stab at it. You can add anything I miss here. But first off, when you log in and you make an investment into a portfolio or multiple portfolios on the Energia platform, you're buying stock in that portfolio. So you're now a pro rata partner in that particular portfolio. And all of the projects that are either built or acquired or sold and the economics associated with those transactions belong directly to the shareholders of that portfolio. So you would put your money in upfront. That capital grants you the shares in the portfolio, and then you are entitled to the economic activity within that portfolio. With regards to the minimum, we have two different flavors here. Because self-directed IRA transactions, there are some fees associated with that at the Entrust Group. There's also a little bit more complexity and some costs associated with connecting our IT infrastructure. And because generally IRA accounts are larger than most Americans' typical savings accounts, we have a $10,000 minimum for an IRA, self-directed IRA investment into the platform. That said, for folks who don't want to use a self-directed IRA or make an investment directly from their savings account, there's only a $100 minimum on that. And we really did that intentionally because we're so automated in the way that we process investments, process dividends, process tax filings. We can handle many, many users, and we want this to be accessible to any American who feels the desire to participate in this, the solutions to climate change. And then lastly, your tax question, you're going to get a Schedule K-1 from each of the portfolios in which you participate. So each of those is its own company. You're a shareholder in that company. You're going to get a Schedule K-1, and we get those out before February 28th of each year. We're in the process of actually submitting to all of our existing investors their Schedule K-1s for 2020 right now, and that process is pretty efficient. Happy to go deeper, but you know, let's see if there's other questions, and please let me know if that answered your question adequately.
Thank you for the answer. Next question is from Danny. Are there any tax benefits, depreciating, offsetting income to investing outside an IRA? Again, for all tax-related questions, you will need to speak with your accountant regarding that. I can tell you that inside the IRA, you will receive your tax benefits depending on whether it's a traditional or a Roth IRA. Next question is, will you share our contact information? I think that's going to be for Mike. I can speak for the Entrust Group. We do not, due to privacy laws, we do not share, solicit, or market any of your information to any outside party.
And our answer is absolutely not, in no way. You know, our investors are our customers, and we care deeply about them. We work as hard as we work to provide a great product and a great service, a great user experience to all you guys. And the last thing in the world we would do is alienate that trust and that relationship by sharing information nefariously or commercially. So that's just not in our DNA, and we're here to serve you.
Thank you. Next one, what are some typical returns? That's from Garish. Please reach out to Mike and Tyler privately offline. Their contact information is on the screen. Mike, this one's for you. Why Brazil? What is the future in the United States? From Bob Alston.
Very good question. So why Brazil? And the way renewable energy markets work is that they are percolating. They're popping up in certain zones where you have a confluence of circumstance that allows a project to be profitable. And those circumstances may be access to a renewable resource, the local price of electricity, and enabling policies that allow us to freely develop these projects. Maybe even addressable market. Is there a large enough of a pocket here to explore? And a little bit of a personal background, you know, in starting in 2007, there was only two or three U.S. states where it made sense to develop solar energy project. And then one of them would fall apart, and then a new one would pop up, and it was playing whack-a-mole of sort of being in the right place at the right time. And just like in real estate, you can't wait until a market is frothing in order to engage it. You have to have some predictive analysis and get there before it's hot. We saw what was happening in Brazil as sort of a thawing of a 20-year frozen cycle, where because of a lot of corruption in their government, they were unable to mobilize towards renewable energy, even as such a large country. And that's changed. They had a period they call Lavijade, where they arrested huge numbers of politicians and business people who were part of a corrupt ecosystem. And they are really making efforts to join the modern world and catch up on renewable energy. And they have great irradiance, they have very expensive electricity. And we knew from a mile away that this was gonna be a white hot market. My business partner, Chris, packed his bags and moved to Rio a couple years ago to stand up our Rio-based office in expectation that this market was going to become what it has actually since become, which in our opinion is the hottest solar market on planet Earth. And it's really a question of getting there at the right time, placing capital into assets and these high yield opportunities, not falling in love with it, and being nimble enough to compose a portfolio of the best places at the best timing over time. And that's exactly what we view our job is at Energia, is to guide our investors to these hot spots so that you can add them to your portfolio. And then before you know it, we'll be offering new hot spots. And in fact, you asked about the United States. We're offering in this next quarter, we're gonna launch our U.S. product. It has a disproportionate risk to reward profile. So in the United States and U.S. dollars, with our rule of law, you're gonna have a more competitive market. Yields will be lower. But we think that the United States is a critical component to a portfolio of portfolios, so that you can have the ballast of this domestic assets with that sort of punctuation from these emerging markets where we think we can find the most value pound for pound. And you put that together, and now that's where we would recommend anyone be situated vis-a-vis this asset class. Does that answer the question? I could also talk about the state of the union here in the United States briefly. I'll just touch on that. The United States, as I mentioned, is a very sophisticated, complex market. You have tariffs on the importation of solar equipment, up to 40% tariffs, in fact. You also have tax credits, which really make the investment particularly valuable to folks with a large tax credit appetite. But it's not as fluid as a straight cash on cash yield style market like you find in Brazil. So it's complex. There's a lot of market participants. And I think that the institutional capital has found a very comfortable place in utility scale assets, the offshore wind, the large solar projects in Texas. Those things are a perfect fit for institutional investors. And where there's a lot of blue sky for high yielding opportunities in the United States is really in that distributed generation segment, or C&I. Commercial and industrial customers are really going to lead the charge on the energy transition. And some of those projects on a standalone basis are too small to fit nicely into a infrastructure fund. And that leaves a lot of opportunity for managers like Energia, who specialize in that sort of middle market asset class size. And with our platform investors and our corporate balance sheet and the financing that we've raised to support those two capital sources of capital, we think we're well positioned to do very well in the United States, but we're also very keen on keeping an eye on international markets as they start to wake up to the renewable energy transformation.
Great answer, thank you. This one's for you as well. Will I be able to see the investment performance on the Energia platform?
100%. So we have a lot of monitoring and tech built into these plants. We can see them every 5 minutes. We get a complete data feed about the weather at the site, as well as the actual electrical performance of the site. So we can compare those two, and we can say, all right, given this cloud cover, how much electricity should this solar power plant be generating in real time? And that's part of our operations and maintenance system. But we have a great CTO who's been with me for many years through multiple ventures. And he's built some connective tissue between the asset monitoring and your platform. So when you view your portfolio, you get a sense of where you're at in real time on a return basis, where we're projecting this thing to go, and your performance versus other indexes out there. So we want to be as transparent as possible. We think this asset class is a real winner financially, on top of being uncorrelated to public equities and bonds like Tyler spoke about. So we're proudly sharing information about the performance of this asset class, and it's something that we've been doing for many years. Goldman Sachs doesn't make large-scale investments into companies like they did with ours at Green Skies without having superior due diligence and types of reporting requirements. So we're acclimated to that caliber, and we bring that to our retail investors through the platform.
Yeah,
great.
Mike,
thank you. Go ahead.
Tony, I would just add one last thing to that and just say, listen, if anyone here still on the call, again, make sure that you say you do want more information in the survey. I can reach out to you. Mike can reach out to you. We can talk performance numbers, IRR, yields. We can, set up a webinar and have you look at our model. We really want to be as transparent as possible. Part of the reason that, some of these yield codes and renewable energy ETFs, part of the reason we don't like those is it's just there's a lot of middlemen and there's not a lot of transparency. I mean, we are open to, for anyone out there that wants to dig deeper into the models and look at performance and numbers, by all means, reach out to us. Let us know you want more information. And we'd be glad to do that. We love that stuff.
Yeah, let's get nerdy.
All right,
Andrew, what else we got here?
Next question. I have an Entrust IRA account set up for another asset. I assume I can use the same account for this investment. That is correct. Feel free to call me or email me, and I can walk you through the process and how to do that with your current Entrust IRA. All ROI-based questions, please reach out to Mike and Tyler directly. Their information is available on the screen. Mike and Tyler, what happens 25 years with solar projects?
That's the best question. So there's a lot of value.
With the second part also with wind. So solar first, then wind.
Okay, excellent. So they're very similar answers to these questions. Now, when we invest in a project, what we're really investing in is that initial contract, right? That's what we can visually and tangibly report as projected return. And what we try to stay away from is imagining some sort of exit, and that's worked really well for real estate, but we're just not comfortable assuming an exit value because markets change over time. So 5 years from now, what will this solar project sell for? I don't know. So we always present the assets as if we're holding it for its entire life. Although we may, as managers, decide to sell a project if we think we have a great price and deliver that value back to the shareholders of the portfolio. Basically, that first contract is generally 15 to 20 years. And there's a common understanding that these assets have a 30-year useful life. I've seen Goldman use 40 years because they're Goldman, and I guess they can do that. I don't know that these assets can last 40 years, but they can certainly last 30 years. So after that initial contract, it becomes the managers in our collective best interest. So remember, we're also investors in this stuff right alongside you guys. It's our collective best interest to try to recontract or extend the contract, the initial contract, so we can continue to sell the power for the tail years of the asset's useful life. You'll see yield codes in often cases. Solar City was an egregious offender of this. Putting in estimates at the tail end of the useful life that are aggressive. And we just don't believe in that. Let's call what we can see. But it's important to recognize as an investor that there's a lot of value in this thing after that initial contract term, whether we sell that or hold on to it and collect yield is really going to be a case-by-case decision based on the marketplace at the time. How's that, Tony?
Sorry, I was muted. Sounded perfect. Next question for you. Does the Energia platform let us know exactly where the solar project is?
Yes.
I'm not sure if they're asking based on location or where they are in the project.
You're going to get both. You're going to get, sometimes we will buy an asset that's operational. Sometimes we will build a project from nose to tail. It really depends on the particular strategy of that portfolio. And that strategy is outlined in the SEC offering circular for each portfolio. But in your interface, if you were to log in and create an account and make an investment, you have an interactive map that has a pin in it for each asset within your portfolio. So you can really understand what you own here. And as an investor myself, you know, that's one thing that I had a hard time with shifting into public equities and things like bonds where you're not exactly sure what you own, especially on a broad portfolio basis. Well, a portfolio of Energia, you're going to know exactly what you own because there's a map on your page that shows the projects in which you have an interest in. And then also, you can go to the each portfolio page and it'll update you. Maybe we just acquired a new project in this portfolio, or maybe we're selling a project in the portfolio. So we just try to, again, bend over backwards to be transparent so you know where we're at and where you're at in terms of your relationship with this, with these real assets underneath.
Great. Next one. What countries do you have future projects planned, and can they sell the shares at a later point just like the normal stock?
Yes. So I'll take those separately. First, what's on the horizon? I've been a big fan of the potential of renewable energy in Africa for a long time, just because electricity prices are very high there. They're using diesel generators to power most of their ecosystem, and it's an aging technology that needs to be replaced. And they're going to skip a lot of the fossil fuel architecture that we have in the Western world and go directly towards more distributed renewable resources. And after 9 or 10 trips to Africa, we finally found a development partner who's got a fantastic portfolio of customers in Africa, which are difficult to find. Namely, they have the largest telecommunications company as a customer. They have many of the largest South African companies as customers, and schools and universities as well, which make good candidates for this type of asset class. So we will be bringing Africa and the United States on over the next quarter into the platform as new portfolios. But we've got our eyes on places like Australia, and there's a couple of Southeast Asian markets that we think have tremendous potential, namely Vietnam, that we are currently studying. And again, look for a market. And then once we identify a market, we look for partners within that market who we believe can consistently provide us premium deal flow. And then we look to partner with them. So that's the way the world looks to us as I sit here today. And the second part about liquidity, we are launching this month a new button on your platform that's gonna be a sell button. We do ask, and it's written into the documentation here that there's a 3-year holding period. You know, you're buying into a power plant. It is not a paper stock. We are very intentionally not on an exchange. But that said, while we ask that you use capital that is for savings and for long-term investment planning, sometimes people need their capital back. So there is an exit option. And what that will do is it'll trigger a process by which first Energia will have the right of first refusal to buy the stock at the then applicable share price. If we pass on it, it goes back online. So the next user who comes in and sees your equity for sale now in said portfolio, they're looking to build their own portfolio. They'll actually buy the stock directly from you. So that is an easy technology for us, and it's already built. And that liquidity option will be available to you after you hold the asset for 3 years.
Next question. Do you create indexes combining several different portfolios?
Another great question. So yes, we are in the process right now, and we expect it to launch around summertime, where instead of picking and choosing and mixing your blending your own portfolios, we would offer an index product. We call it the Energia Index. And that's actually our third product. So these questions are great. We're launching the US, we're launching Africa, and then by the summertime, we're launching the index option. And we really think that the index option is sort of the granddaddy of the products that we can compose here. Not everyone wants to have the discretion over how to weight multiple global portfolios that they may not be familiar with the way we are. So that index option will make it a much simpler process for people to engage this asset class and to benefit from that diversification. So it's not available yet, but if you follow along and if you wanna see what's coming down the pike for Energia by letting us know that today, you'll be the first to be aware when that index option becomes available.
Next question. Do you hedge against currency risk? Your investors seem to be US based. You can take that offline and you guys can discuss that. Tyler and Mike's information is available on the screen. Same with Gary's next question. Please ask them privately offline.
Great question, Tyler. Guys, just to let you know, obviously, we're trying to present information here that is universally useful to you when thinking about renewable energy. And I appreciate the entrust guys just saying, hey, if you have anything specific on returns or, detailed strategy of our investment process, we're available here anytime for you.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. What is factored in of equipment replacement over the course of 20 contracts?
So there's a couple of schools of thought on this. We use a technology in our solar projects called string inverters as opposed to central inverters. In the old days, you would have to model into your project a replacement of a central inverter. So the entire inverter would basically be removed, junked, and replaced with a fresh inverter. And you would have to model that based on the warranted period of the equipment, which nowadays you're getting inverter warranties of 10 to 15 years. Well, that's changed a lot with the new architecture of a solar power plant. We use smaller, more modular equipment, and we expect that that equipment will have a higher, more failure points because there's simply more pieces to it, but that the plant will 95% of the plant is still operational if you have 1-5% string go down. So we're seeing improved efficiencies in overall production from plants now by managing replacement of smaller bits as time marches on. And we rely on our EPC warranty, we rely on the equipment warranty, and then we rely on what's called a technical reserve, which is basically a self-insurance plan, if you will, amongst the projects within a portfolio. The projects contribute to this technical reserve, so that should one project have an issue of substantial cost, we can use that reserve, we can use our insurance policy, we can use our warranties and those types of tools in order to get that project up and operational as soon as possible. It's also worth mentioning that that's a very highly calculated value, the technical reserve, and it depends on where the project is. Some projects in desert locations, where heat is very high, will have a higher propensity of laminate damages, which is part of the solar module, or inverters overheating. So we may even put them in a refrigerated space. So it really depends on what the probability is of catastrophic failure across the portfolio, and that sizes our technical reserve. That would never be result in a calling of cash from investors. And first off, Energia and our balance sheet is and has been and will remain the frontline defense for contributing cash to that type of thing. But I mentioned all these tools that we have to soften the probability of a major issue that's going to cost a lot of money to fix.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike. How is your website linked with Entrust website? I can take the Entrust side first, and then Mike and Sally, you can hop into what they will see on the Energia side. Within Entrust, if you're logged into your Entrust account and you go into the Entrust Connect tab in your account, you will be able to see the Energia offering and be able to ask questions directly from that platform.
Yeah, and then Tony, you know, from our side, you know, you go to www.energia.com. You literally create, you know, enter in your email address and create a password, and then you're in. You can see all the, you know, various documents that we filed with the SEC, offering circulars, project memos, perform your due diligence. You can get in touch with us at any point throughout that process. But yeah, creating an account on our platform is simple and easy. And if you're, you know, new, you can just right through the settings tab, and I can walk you through this. You can link your Entrust IRA right to it. So if you already own an Entrust IRA, you can just enter the account number, link it, and then you can now create transfers to and from the Entrust group to Energia.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, we have a technology that is really commonly used for this purpose. It's called Plaid. Plaid links accounts. So when you're linking an account, you can link a savings account, a checking account, really any account you like, or another option is to link a self-directed IRA account. So that's all happens when you decide the source of capital that you're going to use on the Energia platform.
Perfect. Next question would have to be answered offline, but I know that both Mike and Tyler will be happy to answer it. Do you personally own Energia stock? Please email them directly. And the last question we have, how frequently do you create a valuation of the stock shares?
Every month. So every month, a number of things can change within a portfolio. Number one is that we've marched 1 month further into those existing power contracts. So the tail end of those power contracts is worth less month over month as we start to mop up all the revenue out of those contracts. That would, in its own right, cause the share price to go down because the projects are getting older and the contracts are getting older. Meanwhile, we're introducing new projects to the portfolio, and that brings a whole new set of contracts and long-term dividends, and that would cause the contract to go up, the value of the stock price rather to go up. And thirdly, is that there's time value of money. All investors are equalized through the share price method. If an investor gets in to a portfolio that has no operational projects but projects under construction, they're going to get an advantage on a share price basis. They're going to own ultimately more of that portfolio than an investor who gets in the day that the project is commissioned and now it's operational and producing dividends. So we use share price to equalize investors. We use share price to compute the remaining contract terms, and we use share price to compute new assets as they're added to a portfolio, and that levelizes out. That's really one of the core pieces of, I guess, financial technology that we feel that we've invented here for this purpose at Energia, and we think it just does a fabulous job of making this fair no matter when an investor may engage a portfolio.
Perfect. Thank you. That wraps up all of our questions. I'll keep it open for another couple of seconds. If somebody has a last minute question they want to type in, feel free. If not, Tyler, if you want to put your poll up or your next slide, we can do that. And then we could wrap up and take everything offline.
Cool. I have one question here from Michael.
Sure.
What is done with 1,000 windmills at the end of their useful life? Are they disassembled and scrapped, or left in place? Same with a field full of solar panels. Seems like these could be liabilities at some point.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Number one is that equipment can be recycled. And there are already companies that just now are starting up, which makes sense because you didn't need solar module recycling in a major way 10 years ago. But now we have a lot of equipment in the field and recycling is becoming a real hot spot. And there's companies that are doing a pretty cool job at bringing recycling to the industry. But remember this, is that there you have to tap into the grid with each one of these projects. And as more and more and more projects get added to the grid, those special interconnection locations become more and more valuable. And we've seen this in market after market. There's many, for example, in New York right now. New York is a very saturated market for solar. And the real gold there isn't necessarily the project itself. It's that interconnection agreement with the site control. Because that site and that interconnection point are going to be used for decades and decades and decades, even beyond this first project. It's just a good spot to insert X amount of electricity into the grid at that point. So we look at this on a long-term basis and think to ourselves, we want our investors to own great interconnection points across multiple jurisdictions so that even if those projects, as they get to their end of their useful life, the site itself and the interconnection permission itself will make a very easy financial argument to put a new plant or modernize and update the turbine or the solar module, whichever the case may be, and recycle the old stuff. When you melt down silicon, it basically refreshes it because silicon degrades at about 0.5% per year on average. But when recycled, you basically get a brand new module out of the stuff.
Perfect. I believe that's all for the Q&A period.
That's great. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. That's it. Again, when you get that survey, just please indicate that you'd like a little more information. We'll stay in touch with you. And thank you all for joining. It really, really means the world to us. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. And feel free to reach out with any further questions.